Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, everybody. Episode 335 of The Scope. Hope you had a fantastic Christmas if you celebrated it. That's all I got to say.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. Not everyone does. Some people just like to go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah. And if you didn't, I hope that your time away from the sucky people of the world was great, too.
The airing of grievances.
Airing of grievances, baby. Yeah, so hey, Jared, hey, Adam, thanks for showing up.
Hi.
Let's do this. Give a little applause for yourself. Why don't you do that?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So fantastic, fantastic to be back with you guys. Oh, you're so quick on the draw to torment me, Jared. Yeah. Two shows in a row. I am thrilled that we're bringing our fantastic listeners the second part of our 2025 holiday edition of Scope Dope or Scope Nope. But before we get into that, since we are at the end of the year and pretty much the only thing I do besides work nowadays is watch TV because there's so much of it to do, I thought we could take a few minutes to talk about our favorite shows of the year. I put together, thank you very much.
That's all. Just a little hit. It's on the board. I might as well play it.
I was going through all of the shows that I watched and all the shows that could make the list. And I ended up with a list of about 14 different shows that were memorable to me. I can't put them in any sort of order. I don't know if the two of you are in the same boat, but let's just throw some shows out there.
Just throw them out. Just swing them out there.
What caught your attention? What were you excited to watch, and are there any shows from 2025 you would watch again? Jared, we'll start with you.
Wow. I just counted up my list. I also have 14 shows on here.
We have the same exact shows.
Impossible. I'm pretty sure we don't have the exact same list, but
you have Tulsa King on there 13 times, don't you?
I do. So, okay. This is a kind of a running joke between me and Shane. I watched Tulsa King. I admit it is fully a terrible show with terrible acting and terrible plot lines, but I just happen to have a fondness for stupid crime shows, and this is the epitome of stupid crime shows. Season? I don't know. Some of the people involved with it, I don't like, and I maybe shouldn't support them in any way, but at the same time, I leech off someone else's Paramount Plus subscription, so I'm not really contributing anything financially to them. So
that makes it okay. Gotcha.
It makes it okay. Sure, why not? It's a bad show. You shouldn't watch it, but I do watch it when it's on.
Tell us about a good show. Tell us about a good show, Jared.
Boy,
tell
where do I want to start? I can't go with the banger off the board. Can I go with my number one show of the year right off the bat?
Now, give us a surprise. Give us something in there that you think neither Adam or I picked.
Oh, I don't know if there's, something you didn't pick. I will go with, what the hell? Let's go with the one I'm pretty sure that neither one of you picked, and that is going to go the latest four-part, 2 hours per part, Ken Burns documentary, The American Revolution. Mm. This goes through the entirety of the American Revolution from basically the underlying causes of it all the way through the entirety of it and all the way up to the end of the war and everything. It's really well done. It really goes into like what the actual legitimate underlying causes are. It's not as simple as you were told in school, and it's not as simple as some modern political pundits would have you believe. The reasons for it were varied depending on who you were and what part of the colonies you were in. So a lot of it was racism. A lot of it was mad that the British didn't want us to do as much racism. So there's that. It does a good job of sort of centering enslaved people and indigenous people experience when it's appropriate. So I really appreciate that. And I learned that you and I, Shane, we suited up and we did this. No, our forebears, forefathers, invaded Canada briefly earlier in the war and conquered Montreal.
Oh, really?
Which I was surprised to learn, but there was an awful lot of action in upstate New York up into Canada, and they were really worried about the British invading from the north, so they decided that they were going to go take over some stuff beforehand so they couldn't do it, and ultimately lost it, obviously, but yeah. I don't know, it was very informative. It's Ken Burns, so it's a little bit dry, but I don't know, for whatever reason, I was in the mood for it, and so I just binged it over a few days on the PBS app, so... I think you can probably still watch it for free on there if you have the PBS app available to you.
Hmm.
I say check it out.
All right. Please, 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 please tell me there's some AI-generated fights in it, please.
I don't think there's any AI. There's a lot of famous voices reading correspondence from the day, including Paul Giamatti as John Adams, which if you watch the John Adams miniseries on HBO, it was Paul Giamatti.
So. Wow.
Good get.
Comes full circle. Yeah. Adam, you just heard about the American Revolution. My guess is it probably didn't make your list, but give me something from your list. Usually most of your list is stuff that nobody else picks. So it could be, you know, like hour six of C-SPAN or whatever you get into. I don't know.
That's where the questions get particularly spicy.
Right. Some sort of Adult Swim thing, perhaps. But give us something. Give us something that blows our brains out.
So I have a list, but the list, is titled, did I watch ... No, there are shows I wish I watched, but did not.
Did you watch any shows or did you just have a list of things you didn't actually get to?
I mean, I kind of didn't watch a lot of shows.
What are you doing with your time besides not setting up your router correctly?
I'm playing Star Wars Unlimited. Those cards back there. I'm playing Hades 2. I'm playing games. I'm leading my child to winning a chess tournament. I'm doing important stuff. I did watch two shows. Three. One is The Floor, which I'm embarrassed that I watched. Not bad.
Oh, is that game show?
Yeah.
Okay.
With Rob Lowe?
With one and only Rob Lowe.
Okay. It's either him or Chris Hardwick. It's one of the two.
Yep.
Did you watch? Was that where they have the 50 states, or was is that the one you were watching?
That's Trump's new Patriot Games that he just announced.
Oh, true. Right.
True.
Yeah. He's literally doing the Hunger Games. Okay, we're not talking about politics.
Really,
Does he announce Patriot Games today? A week ago, as of 10 days ago, as of the airing of this episode, whatever.
Oh, well, we've got to talk about that offline. I'm way out of the loop. Okay, Adam, The Floor. So how did Minnesota do in The Floor, by the way?
Lost very, very early on.
Oddly enough, it was give a list of hot dishes, and we totally fucked it up.
Yeah. Okay, but they're not new shows that I'm still going to just go with. A show that I watched. I guess this one's new. Murderbot.
Oh yeah,
Watch that.
That's made a lot of people's top lists of the year.
Yeah,
starring whom?
A Skarsgård.
Skarsgård.
Yeah. It's a Skarsgård. And James Gunn's guy, David Dasmalchian. Is that how you say it? That guy, the polka dot man.
Yeah, that's
from,
strange
from
fella.
Suicide Squad. Yeah,
kind of a strange fella.
Yeah, he's a bit of a strange guy. That's it? Okay, cool.
Oh, can I? I mean, I can go with the other show that I watched.
Well, no, we should probably sprinkle you in as needed, right?
Yeah. I'll give you my sort of weird one that I watched that I really, really liked. It was an HBO Max, I think, show, and it was only two episodes. It was Pee-wee as himself, the documentary about Paul Rubens, which was very interesting because within the documentary, you could see the push and pull of Paul Rubens trying to control the narrative of what the documentary was going to be. Like he was, you know, the idea of Paul Rubens being so controlling about his image and the story he wants to tell versus, you know, telling something that's honest and true. It was really fascinating. And frankly, like I have always been a Pee Wee Herman fan since his early days when the Pee Wee Herman show was like a stage show that ended up being on HBO is like kind of like a comedy special. to his appearances on Letterman, which were fantastic, to obviously Pee-wee's Big Adventure, now available in high definition. That's very good. Good new transfer on that. And then, you know, Pee-wee's Playhouse. And, you know, that, and then sort of his life after with, you know, his, you know, Sorid, which was really overblown movie theater thing and some other stuff.
There's a whole two-part podcast episode or two episode of the You're Wrong About podcast by Sarah Marshall that goes into the life and times of Pee-wee and Paul Reubens and all of that stuff. And it's that was really informative. Yeah, and the whole idea about it was basically... Yeah, the whole movie theater thing was way overblown and,
right.
and
made an
a bit of a sting of, operation. Yeah. And yeah, real sad though.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, sad ending for someone who was very influential and, you know, a lot of funny people in Hollywood love the guy, even if he probably could be a bit much, would be my guess, one of those artistic types. But well worth the time to watch if you have. Any interest in Pee-wee or comedy or, you know, just even stuff that comes out of the 80s and 90s. It's an interesting watch. So that's my dark horse pick. Should we get to some of the more obvious choices, Jared?
Because I think we should probably just do like a speed run of the ones that are like the obvious ones that are on both of our lists.
Okay.
Honestly, we probably don't need to talk about them in depth too much. Would be my
all right.
Guess.
So why don't you just start listing off stuff and we can make comments.
Well, I'll go. Bella was a season 4 of Hacks.
Right, that's in there. HBO. It's on my list.
Fantastic. Yep. Probably mm-hmm. might be the best season they've had so far, and I think they got one more.
Maybe, I think next. Doing? Yep, the fifth season's the last one.
So I'll be excited for that to wrap up. What do you got now? We'll just go back and forth.
I mean, we can throw Severance in the mix. Season 2 of Severance was fantastic. Did you watch that show, Adam?
Yeah, that was my other show.
And okay. Well, Adam's out. Do you want to take a break?
Turn his mic off. Yeah, fantastic show. Interesting. Great ending, you know, cliffhangery type of thing. Yep. Yeah, looking forward to what's next. Name another show, Jared.
Earlier in the year, and it's a miniseries, which I think you might have put me on, but then I also saw it in media shortly after that, and we're talking about 4-part Adolescence.
Oh, yes. Super intense.
I watched it on a plane. Maybe not the right choice, boy. But yeah, pretty intense, but it got me to and from Florida, so... Good job.
Single shots for each episode. Amazing. And some of the technology they did involving like drones and transfers of cameras and stuff like that. If you watch any of the behind the scenes stuff.
And like legit single shot. Like right. not faking it in bursts. It's like it's legit. Like, yeah. Like yeah, we had that. There's the drone shot that there's a lot of BTS on it. And I pretty much had figured out how it happened before I saw the BTS because I'm a smart ass and know these things. But yeah. Incredible.
Fantastic.
Just from a filmmaking standpoint and the fact that the young boy who plays like the lead, that's his first acting job and he nailed it like that.
Fantastic story about toxic masculinity, the power of social media and how it is affecting the youth and especially, you know, tweens and teens. It's sobering and I'm glad I have a 21-year-old, Adam, and not a young boy like you.
It's on my list of shows that I didn't watch. There's no reason for that.
Right.
It'd be a tough one with a young person. Yeah.
I'll go to another one this is a little one of the newer shows on the list, The Lowdown. Fantastic. Okay. from the makers of Reservation Dogs, another one that takes place in Oklahoma, starring Ethan Hawke as a writer who is what does he call himself? A truth storian?
Something like that,
where he's been investigating a powerful family in Oklahoma that there's a murder, and it ties into like the governor. Kyle MacLachlan's in it. I just think it has a really cool vibe to it, and well worth the time to watch. A big thumbs up on that one for me.
I liked it. I didn't make my list for whatever reason. I just, you know, it was fine. I didn't think it was bad by any means, but maybe I didn't quite connect to it like you did.
Adam, it's no Tulsa King. Jared,
no, but it did take place in Tulsa. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the
I connector. Had a very, very Tulsa-heavy rotation for a while there between Tulsa King and The Lowdown, both on at the same time.
Connective tissue.
Really living that Tulsa lifestyle.
Jared.
Although I'm not sure that Tulsa King is actually filmed in Tulsa.
Jared.
Yeah.
Enough with the Tulsa. Give me another show.
What? What else can I say? Are we going to stick with ones that we're probably on both of our lists? Sure, why not? I'm going to go with Alien Earth.
Yep, I've got that on there as well. Did you watch that, Adam?
Nope, on my list of shows that I should have watched. I mean, Andor is on the.
Oh, don't even say that. That might be the grand finale of everything.
I'm aware.
Alien Earth, Jared. Pretty hard to find a show, maybe besides Andor, that captures the feel of the universe so completely.
Yeah.
And
so the point where one episode is essentially an alien movie.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's just incredible. It's full vibe. Yeah, it's from Noah Hawley, who did Fargo and did Legion as well. So, you know, he's an auteur who has a vision and is going to execute on that vision. So,
yep. I don't know if it was a perfect show, but as alien related material goes, it is right up there with Alien and Aliens. It's that good. It's a special thing, and I'm excited to see what they do with the next season, which has been greenlit.
Which wasn't guaranteed, and it's interesting given that it was a very tightly scoped story that really left things kind of open-ended, and you're like,
Mm-hmm.
I guess we could leave it here if we don't get more, but...
Yep. But
we're going to get more, so...
We're going to get more. Speaking of specific sort of genre-type shows, I'm going to throw Peacemaker on that list. I love the second season. The alternate Earth that
they
existed.
And it could be the last season.
Really?
Yeah. There's no plans for season three.
Oh, wow. Well,
doesn't mean it won't happen at some point, but there are no immediate plans and there's no approval for it. I think it's going to be a thing where if James Gunn has an idea for a season three and he can get everyone on board for it, then it'll happen. But
all right.
As of right now, there is no plans for a season three.
Well, I mean, it's no secret that I love James Gunn's tone of what he does with superhero films. I mean, obviously, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, some of the better stuff that came out of the Marvel Universe and what he's done in trying to do in the new DCU gives me hope based on what we've seen from Peacemaker. A lot of fun, good acting, crass, and good action as well. So yeah, Peacemaker makes my list.
So we're going ping pong, ping 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 pong in. I'm going to go with the HBO show The Pit. Medical drama takes place over the course of one day. Each episode is an hour. Noah Wiley back in the ER doing his thing again. Season two is coming, I think, next month, January.
Yeah, middle January.
I didn't watch this as it aired. I caught up with it later, and I was pretty much engrossed from the jump. So I would say get in there, watch that show if you can handle sort of high stakes, occasionally graphic medical drama.
Did you watch that, Adam?
No, that one's not even on my list.
Yeah,
but that's guys like medical dramas don't do it for me. But it's on every other.
Yeah. I have not watched it. It is literally the next show that we will watch after we sort of make it through the holidays, or we've made it through the holidays, or something like that.
You've probably started watching.
You know
it
what?
At this
I
point.
Forgot.
Yeah, it's great.
A show.
Go ahead,
Adam. Let's go to Adam.
SNL. And
yeah, I actually have the SNL Beyond Saturday Night Live documentary series. There were four of them, which were fantastic. Not the standard SNL documentary. It really like honed in on a certain topic for each of them. You know, one literally just about cowbell, one about, you know, the writer's week. So totally worth it. Worth your time. And the SNL 50 was a really good anniversary special too, all things considered. More on the list, Jared. I'm going to throw some shows out that were like not first seasons, and I just want to get your take if they were on a list for best of.
I'm pretty sure what one and two are for you and me. So
let's look at. I have the White Lotus on there, the most recent.
Okay.
I liked it. I mean, it was worth it to watch. I thought,
for whatever reason, didn't love the season three.
Okay. But
I do like the show overall.
Okay. The next one, The Bear.
Yep.
Great, right?
The Bear's great.
Yeah. I've never not liked The Bear, even when people complained about the last season overall. I just think it's a spectacularly acted show. Interesting.
Yep. And unfortunately, it's now the last screen appearance of Rob Reiner.
Yeah, he was great in that. I have Poker Face season 2 on there.
Okay, interesting. Did not make my list. And now that it's canceled, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because they definitely played up a bit more of an ongoing plot, you know, throughout it. And it ended up getting sort of weird and strange, but that's sort of the tone of the show for me.
Yeah, and I was happy that they pretty much resolved the dangling threads from season 1 right away.
Right.
Didn't leave us.
Yeah, I mean, that literally was taken care of immediately. Yeah. I got another show on here that is...
Sorry, did you guys hear the Peter Dinklage Poker Face idea?
Yes, yeah. Did you hear about that, Jared?
I heard about it. Nothing's obviously happening for sure yet, but...
Yeah. The story goes is that they want to continue with a season 3 of Poker Face, but replace Natasha with Peter Dinklage as the same character. So I don't know how that would work, you know, if it literally is like we're going to pick up the same plots and go, or if
it seems weird unless she doesn't want to be involved. I don't know.
I think she's going to be producing the show, though. I think that she is involved in it, but I don't know if she's, I just don't know if she'd actually be in it.
I mean, I trust the people involved, so
I
expect it to, if it happens, to be good. So
The last show that I have on the list that we haven't mentioned, and it's a controversial one, is The Last of Us season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Following the video game, controversial Last of Us Part 2 video game, I thought it still was fantastic. You know, true to the world that it was interpreting from that video game standpoint. Pretty gruesome. They didn't pull any punches. You know, how they deal with some of the characters and knowing what was going to happen. One of the highlights of my TV viewing year was watching my wife watch the scene and having no idea what was coming and her freaking out.
I for whatever reason, season 2 of the show caught a lot of flack online. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Is it as good as season 1? Probably not. It's still really good. Like, it's still really good. Better than like 90% of television. So.
Right. And if people have a problem with season 2, I think they're really going to have a problem with season 3, considering who it's going to focus on and what the show is going to be, and the fact that the writer of the game has moved on, so it's going to be sort of run by somebody else. But, I mean, the source material is there, so they'll be fine.
Yep.
So that leaves us with 2 shows left.
Well, I've got a few more I'm going to nail off that you didn't do. Paradise on Hulu. I think season 2 is coming again next month or February, very soon. Paradise is, I can't talk about it too much without giving it away.
I don't know what that show is.
You've watched Paradise.
What is it?
One where they go to the underground bunker. You didn't watch the show?
I don't.
With, what's his name, Sterling K. Brown?
No, I never watched it.
What?
With James Marsden?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never watched it.
You should watch that. Okay, it's a great show. All right. Okay. Well, here you go. I'm bestowing knowledge upon you. You should watch Paradise. It's really good. Season 2 is about to drop.
Yeah, that show has made the best of lists from a few places. As well.
You should watch it. I thought you had watched it. Okay, no, never mind. I will also mention Task on HBO.
That's another one that's
very good. It was only 7 episodes, but it's just really well written. Great acting. Just a lot of good character moments. It's Mark Ruffalo. He's a FBI agent, leads a task force investigating a series of armed robberies, involves a child who gets accidentally abducted, and so on and so forth. It's really, really good. They just got approved for season 2, so that's coming. And then one of my coworkers put me on Netflix, a show called Department Q. It's like a British crime drama, which is another subgenre of show that I really like. You know what? Come to think of it, I should put Slow Horses on the list too, because that's another great show.
People love that show.
But Department Q, it's got what's his name? Matthew Good. What do you know him from? I know him from other things. I'm trying to look it up.
Was he in Fuller House? He was in Fuller House, right? The spinoff or the sequel to Full House.
Matthew Good? No.
Yeah. I don't. He played DJ's boyfriend.
What? No. This is a British guy.
Am I making that up? I think I might.
I think you are. Anyway, it's a British crime show. It's really good. I think another season's coming on that. He was in Watchmen. He was in Downton Abbey. A bunch of British stuff. He played Robert Evans in The Offer. That's another miniseries you should watch. It's not from this year, but The Offer is all about getting The Godfather made. Check that one out. I think that is it. We are now to, I think, the final two.
Right. What are probably our favorite shows of the year? Shane, why don't
By
you
the
take
way, before we do that, I do want to say one show that I binged this year that is not from 2025 that I absolutely adored was Pachinko, the Apple TV show.
I got to get back to
it
that.
It is fantastic. First season and second season. Great. Third season coming at some point. Give that a watch for like retroactive type stuff. Really, really good. But let's go on.
I've watched a ton of really good Apple TV shows and a lot of middling Apple TV shows for whatever reason. I tend to watch a lot of their shows. But I haven't watched Stick, and I don't think I'm going to watch Stick.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I'm just not into golf comedies.
Let's talk about...
Let's do it.
Apple TV show that we are watching that is, as of this recording, is over for season one. But, we haven't seen that episode yet.
Are you sure about that? I think we still got 3 episodes left.
I think there's 1 episode left.
There's 10 episodes.
I heard there's 9 episodes.
Oh, there's 9 episodes. You're right.
Finally, I'm right about something. We're talking about Pluribus. It's Vince Gilligan's next show after Better Call Saul, starring Ray Seahorn, who was the breakout star of Better Call Saul as Kim Wexler, Saul's long-suffering partner, girlfriend. And this is a really high concept sci-fi show. Essentially, everyone in the world except one person becomes super duper happy and part of a mind meld. And she's going to do whatever she can to put things right. Spoiler alert, she's also a very negative kind of grumpy person.
I've heard her called a bit of a disaster person.
Yes.
She's like a writer of like pulpy adventure romance novels or something like that.
Yep. Disdain for her readers in the sense of like she believes what she's writing is crap and why would anybody like it? And that sort of informs her worldview. Obviously, I simplified it quite a bit. And the cool thing about this show is like they give you answers about a lot of what is happening right up front. You know, it's not secretive. It's not like a magical puzzle mystery box that like a J.J. Abrams would do. Clearly, there is knowledge in terms of what is going on. Why are people happy? And I mean, it's obviously I don't even really know what to say about it, Jared, how much I want to give away. But it's pretty upfront with the understanding that it is backloaded with a lot more information that they sort of let come out slowly. Beyond that, it's visually striking, lingering.
It looks incredible. It looks
lingering
expensive.
Shots. Yeah, it's just it is a different feel than like a Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul. Although you can feel the DNA of it, kind of tying it all together. It is definitely its own show, and I look forward to watching it every week. It's a talker, and we don't get a lot of shows like that.
Yeah, it's a great show. If you like Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad, I think you're already in Camp Vince Gilligan, so you should watch the show. What are you doing?
And Apple TV. He started on the X-Files. You know, that was one of his first gigs. So he's always said he's always wanted to get back to that. He's had this idea for 10 years, and it is fantastic. Adam, make some time to watch that while you're organizing your playing cards.
Sign up for Apple TV, watch Pluribus, and then I can give you about 7 other shows on Apple TV you should watch.
They're all on my list already. I already have an Apple TV. I'm just never watching shows again, I guess.
Well,
that's fair.
That's fair. Well, another show that you won't be watching, which I think probably would be my show of the year. I don't know if you agree with that, Jared, but it is right.
Well, I only
there.
Have one more on my list, so probably.
Well, I don't know if we've already covered your show of the year, but Adam mentioned earlier in the segment.
Well, we did talk about Tulsa King, so.
Okay, well, we'll let you deliberate that, but of course we are talking about the Disney Plus television show Andor, which is the prequel to Rogue One, the movie. We're speaking of Andor season 2, but really, you know, it's Andor as a whole of a show. And for those of you morons that don't know, which there's no morons listening to our show that wouldn't know this, it tells the story of Andor, who was a Cassian Andor, who is a key part of essentially capturing the Death Star plans to give them to the rebels to destroy the Death Star in the very first Star Wars movie. Why was Andor so good, Jared?
I think there's multiple things going on. Number one, you've just got incredible writing. Every episode was just filled with dialogue that was just so quotable and so well performed. The cast is incredible. Every person in there was just acting their asses off. I think it had a unique structure that was really interesting in that you had 4 3-episode chunks where each one was a year. Each chunk was a year. So you had 3 episodes in 1 year, like 4 years before the Battle of Endor or Battle of Yavin. The next chunk was 3 years before. Next one was 2 years before. Last one, maybe it was 3, 2, 1, and then immediately before, something like that. I don't know. But it basically was like, you got these kind of like really tight storylines, and then you jumped forward a year. So it was like a really interesting storytelling structure that just, I found interesting. And everything was just felt so important and necessary and relevant to today, but also felt like it fit into the Star Wars universe as we've always known it. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just like a whole, it's like a really grown up adult way of portraying the dynamics at play in the Star Wars universe that really contrasts hard with, sort of the childish storytelling of the original trilogy. They're fun movies. Great. But they're for children. Let's be honest. They are for children. This is very much a show for adults. So you know what it's like,
Jared? I just thought of this. You know the scene in Return of the Jedi where C-3PO is telling the story of Star Wars essentially to the Ewoks?
Yep.
It's like, and that's almost like a fairy tale in a way, right? It is, this magical thing. Andor is almost like, it's like the real Star Wars universe. It's not a fairy tale. It's the actual world that exists.
This is how it really was.
And it captures so much of what the original movie was in the sense of like, not a ton of aliens, things like that. Just the world that they live in is so organic and real and grounded in a way that no other Star Wars film or TV show has captured. It feels so like 70s, you know what I mean? Like you have moments where it feels like it's a completely different 70s science fiction movie or, something out of, Lucas's mind, a student film or something like that. The music is different. It's just everything about it is so perfect. And it, the more and more I think about it, like it may be the best Star Wars thing that ever happened.
I agree. And it makes me mad that not all of the Star Wars stuff produced by Disney is this good. At the same time, this show was incredibly expensive. And it was very much a prestige television awards play from Disney Plus. And they know that they can't spend this kind of money and afford this kind of talent on all of their projects, which is kind of a bummer because you really want everything to be elevated to this level.
That's what Star Wars is, though. I mean, it was the best of the best.
It wasn't necessarily.
But I mean, in the mind's eye of people, in a different world, you'd get a Star Wars movie every 3 years and then you'd wait 20 years for a film or 15 or whatever. It's not something that's necessarily meant to be hitting you week after week, month after month, year after year.
I think for me, this show sort of is the realization of what we all hoped grown-up Star Wars could be.
Yeah.
And there were so many attempts at a Star Wars that tried to split the difference between being, safe enough for children, but also playing to the adults. And I don't know if that's the right play or not, but they're just like most of the Disney era Star Wars. I mean, I guess even most of the non-original trilogy stuff just has a lot of flaws to it. And and some is better and worse than others. This just felt like finally we've got a Star Wars that is elevated, that delivers on everything we want it to deliver on and feels like it belongs. And it just... I don't know. It's just such a unique and interesting thing to exist. And I treasure it. I've rewatched season one. It's every bit as good the second time through. Even the parts that people were slow. Oh, I gave up after episode 3. It was so slow. Yeah, whatever. Get off your ass and watch the rest of it.
The other thing, Jared, that I think bears mentioning is the reason why Andor is successful, or another reason why, is that you don't have to be a Star Wars fan to enjoy it. Right. You know, you talked about pandering, or, you know, playing to the fans, or playing to kid, or you're playing to adults and playing to kids. The other aspect is playing to fans. And I think that large portions of the Disney era Star Wars did just that, you know, like deep in mythology, which for guys like us, that's fine. But for people like my wife, it isn't right. fine, right? Like, she doesn't give a shit about Ahsoka or...
Right. You know. Ahsoka is so dense for anyone right. who hasn't watched any of the non-film stuff. It's, yep. Yeah.
Baby Yoda... Impenetrable. Baby Yoda was cute and awesome until it started dovetailing really deep into the mythology, and then she didn't care as much. Andor is something that anybody could watch and not have any idea what is going to happen, and it still is super engaging, like you said, relevant... and of the times in a way that is kind of freaky, actually, but still spectacular. And it's very possible that we may never see something like this from Disney ever again. This might be the pinnacle of what, you know, streaming television can be for a giant franchise like this. And
yep.
I mean, I guess if that's the case, at least they did it with a bang. But yeah, it's my number one show of the year for sure.
I would agree. And that's our show, folks. Sorry, we were going to eat some snacks, but we just ran out of time.
Yeah,
Adam, thanks for showing up. Listen to us talk about a show you haven't watched.
It's just like old times, folks.
You guys really amped me up.
You got to watch it, Adam. It is
good.
You can tell how amped he is.
Season two.
Season two is better than season one.
Yeah.
And season one is very, very good.
Yep.
So, yeah. Fantastic. Well, we've covered TV.
Yep.
We have one more order of business for the rest of the year.
Cover ourselves in holiday sugar. What?
Holiday sugar. We're going to be bouncing off the frickin' walls with part two of 2025 Scope Dope or Scope Nope Holiday Edition. So, Jared, let's take a deep breath. Adam, compose yourself.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll let Jared do his little talkie talk, and we're going to jump right back into sugared goodness. Thanks. Listen, back in a sec.
So yeah, Shane thinks I'm going to talk for a long time, but I kind of did all that in the last episode. And if I didn't get your attention, well, I don't know what I can do. Do you want me to take my clothes off? You don't want that. I don't want to do that because it's cold.
I do.
No. Anyway, this is the part of the show where, you know, it's like a pledge drive. We say, do you want to support the show? Do you want us to do this on a regular basis? Then you should support us. Patreon.com/The Scope Show is where you go to do that. You're probably already on Patreon. It is like the number one crowdfunding platform for like creatives, you know, like you're probably there already. Just like go to our page and like throw in a buck or two. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like what the cool kids are doing, right? It's like 6-7, except it's the scope, right? Anyway, you can pledge as little as $1 an episode, and you can cancel any time, but we post so infrequently, you'll probably forget that you're even a guy who supports the show. So just do it. Patreon.com/The Scope Show. It's the giving season. It's still the giving season. It's like post-Christmas, pre-New Year. You're probably like stuffed with, I don't know, holiday ham and like leftover sugar cookies, and you don't even know what you're doing. I'm out of time. Let's go. Patreon.com/The Scope Show.
Hello, 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 everybody. We're back.
You gotta wait. You gotta wait. No, I want to talk.
I thought you were potting it down. Sorry. Hey, you do this twice. You do this twice a year. That's what happens, everybody.
You know, I thought for the second show part of this, we'd just go for a little laid back vibe.
I loved it.
Unbutton your button on your jeans because you're having too many snacks. Just chill out. Relax. Hey, relax, man. Relax. It's like Trump talking to Satan. Relax.
All right, we're back with the part two of Scope Dope or Scope Nope, Holiday Edition 2025, all of that good stuff. We're going to ring in the new year with a bunch of food you're not going to be able to get. You're pretty much out of luck if you're using this as like, I'm going to head to the store and get this stuff, because you're probably not.
This will just fill you with regret for not having hit the supermarket.
Yeah, there might be one item on this list that you can get year-round, and I'll mention that when we get to it. But let's set up the ground rules. We know this. We're going to try a series of 6 different holiday-flavored foods. If we like it, and we don't all have to agree, just the vote has to be 2-1, we'll give it a scope dope. If we don't like it, and again, it only has to be 2 nopes, it's going to be a scope nope. And then we'll go through and pick our favorite of the bunch, and maybe we'll compare and contrast that to our winner of the first round, which would be that Coca-Cola holiday creamy vanilla flavor.
I told you I'd make it last all week, and there
Jared,
it is.
How flat is that? How flat is that?
It's kind of flat, but it still tastes good.
All right. Well, let me give you the food list for part 2. Shall I do it?
Shall it?
All right. So we've got Cinnamon Toast Crunch Mexican style hot chocolate flavor. Mm. Uh-oh, Jared's getting excited. His mouth is watering with the Trolley Sour Bright Abominable Snowmen. This is a gummy-flavored treat. Here's the item that I think you can get all year round, but tough luck. It's holiday for this case. We're talking about the Goldfish Strawberry Shortcake Grahams. This is a holiday edition of something for sure. The Kit Kat Peppermint Stick. I wonder what it'll taste like. Pop-Tarts Frosted Marshmallow Hot Cocoa follows that up. And then finally, a fantastic suggestion by Adam, our elf tie-in for the year. It's the Elf Maple Syrup Sunday Buzz Ball. This is an alcoholic cocktail.
And scandalous. We'll be, on a weeknight.
On a weeknight, no less. So let's start it off, everybody, with Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Mexican style hot chocolate. I mean, literally, that's what it says. Adam, crunch into the flavor of Mexican style hot chocolate, where a cinnamon chocolatey taste brings a festive twist to your cereal bowl. It's here for a limited time.
Look at that nightmare fuel.
We got the crazy cinnamon toast.
I just got
crunch.
My dime bag of cereal.
We're going to eat it. Okay.
They only had family size where I look. So
ditto. That's it. Same with me. And guess what? We've got the smell test. Jared's already sniffed.
Interesting. So Angela was sharing with me her white elephant gift from her dance troops party. Things she got in there. One of the things was a Mexican hot chocolate, like cocoa mix or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were both saying, like, I don't think we have ever had Mexican hot chocolate. Or she's had it. She doesn't like it. I don't think I've ever had it. So this might be my first
chocolate and cinnamon, Jared.
But isn't it supposed to be spicy?
Yeah, I mean, that's the spice just sort of comes from the cinnamon. And I do definitely get chocolate, and I do get a hint of cinnamon in this as well.
Yeah, it's not the good cinnamon, though.
Just hint.
Well,
yeah.
All right.
Well, now, it's mass-produced, hyper-processed
CTC
food.
Is usually good, so.
In the last episode, I asked about not using milk, not having milk with the cereal.
Yeah.
I really feel like this one's going to suffer.
Yeah, it's going
to
be.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, just a billion times better to me.
And it is. Okay.
I'm gonna have a little more. Right.
Interesting. Okay.
Jared, tell us what you gained in terms of insight from your dime bag of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That's
Mexican-style hot chocolate.
More like a quarter bag. It's kind of a big bag. So, often one of the rubrics we use when it comes to grading these holiday treats is, like, is this an elevated form of the original? When you're talking about Cinnamon Toast Crunch, that is a tall order. Mm-hmm. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is one of the greatest cereals ever created, especially when you have it in a bowl of milk. I don't often eat sugary cereals, but I've had Cinnamon Toast Crunch more than once, and it is delicious. This is fine. This is not an elevation of the form. This is, if anything, a lateral move, but I think it's probably not as good as the original. It's not bad, and maybe it would reveal itself when dunked in milk, but I'm going to have to say, for me, it's a nope.
Well, I'll go next. Jared, is holiday creamy vanilla Coke an elevated version of Coke? Does it beat the original?
It is an elevated version of vanilla Coke. Yes.
But what about Coke? The standard.
What?
I'm just saying that I don't necessarily think that a holiday flavored treat needs to be better than the original. I think a lateral.
You can judge it however you want.
Is not a bad thing. So I'm just fighting you right now is what I'm doing.
Okay. Okay.
I think what the original version of Cinnamon Toast Crunch has, which adds to the my positivity of this Mexican style hot chocolate, is the fact that Cinnamon Toast Crunch is very cinnamon forward, and the cinnamon does not get lost in this chocolatey upgrade. And yeah, I do think I agree with you. It is a lateral move. It's not better, but I think that it checks the boxes in terms of being a solid holiday flavor. I get cocoa, I get cinnamon, and it would be something that I would eat, gladly eat in the holiday season. So for me, I'm giving it a moderate dope. So we'll send it over to Adam to break the tie. He has been quiet. I see him sort of like licking his teeth.
It like softly straddles the line. Where will Adam land?
Doing a lot of pondering. I think this is kind of where the I like the way it tastes. I haven't had Cinnamon Toast Crunch in a minute. So it's what I remember about Cinnamon Toast Crunch plus chocolate seems okay. I'm definitely not getting like heat or
no.
Anything.
And I wouldn't expect it. This is a children's cereal. Right.
Sure. But I mostly like it. Okay. So yeah, I'd go with a vague dope.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's not a resounding win, but I think altogether it is.
Yeah, scope dope.
It's middling, but you know, it's not something we kick out of bed.
You're here.
Here.
By the way, I'm in the future. I am watching a replay of this Thursday night game, and it has gotten interesting.
Oh, okay. Well,
anyway,
guess what? We're moving on to our next treat. And Jared, are you in for it or what? We're talking the Trolley Sour Bright Abominable Snowmen. With Trolley Sour Bright Abominable Snowmen gummy candies in delicious sour fruit flavors and bold, bright colors. Because one flavor is just boring, enjoy two delicious flavors in each gummy, like mango passion fruit, strawberry lime, and blue raspberry guava. Mm. So, yes, we've got three choices. I'm seeing like a red and green, Adam. That doesn't mean anything to you. So it's mostly like light green and dark green. Mango passion fruit, that would be orange and yellow. And then the blue raspberry guava would be kind of a light blue and pink. So let's determine which one we want to eat first, and let's work together. Yeah.
What does red and green look to you like, Adam? Is it just gray? This game has gotten really interesting, by the way.
Do we need to pause?
No. You can just tune in at your leisure. I happen to be watching the stream while I talk to you guys. Okay. Right. Which one are we trying first?
I'm doing the red and green one.
Red and green. Or
I just want to say, I like the guys a lot. Like, yeah, regardless of...
I mean, they're kind of like Barrel of Monkeys, really.
That's what they are.
Remember Muscle?
Muscle
a little bit.
All right, so we've all got the
red and green,
the strawberry lime. I mean, that's a pretty classic flavor, not particularly holiday flavor, but I think the holiday colors
real well when I do that, but not when I do this. What does that mean?
Oh, that's got some chew to it.
I took a bite of the red, and now I'm taking a bite of the green to see if there's differentiation.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting strawberry and lime. I'm not getting a lot of sour. Are these meant to be sour?
Sour bright.
They're sour bright. Different. Okay.
Not super sour.
This is my favorite thing to review because we have to eat three of them.
Yeah.
Oh.
I noticed that a serving size is four.
We're going to have 3/4 of a serving.
Hmm.
Okay. I'm getting distinct flavors, and I think they pair well together.
When I put the whole thing in my mouth, like I'm enjoying that bite. All right. Let's go on to the next one, shall we?
Okay.
Yep.
I'm doing the green or the blue and sort of salmon color.
Yep.
Yeah.
Blue raspberry guava. I'm not a huge blue raspberry fan, and guava always smells a little strange to me.
Hmm.
All right, let's give it a go.
There's no actual guava or blue.
Mm-mm. Oh.
Yeah.
So I took a bite of the blue raspberry, just the blue raspberry, and it is definitely all mm-hmm. blue raspberry.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get quite the same distinction in the other one.
I don't like this one as much as the first one. It's not bad, but I don't like it as much.
The guava part tastes actively not great.
No, but it does taste like sort of that fake guava yep. flavor.
The blue raspberry is winning that battle.
Yeah.
They're not balanced very well. I need a little palate cleanser.
Okay. All right. I got to find a yellow one. I don't have many of those in here for me.
Wow. You gave me three of them, so thank you. Actually, yeah, I think you gave me three
this one
of each. Instead of,
like, flexing, this one's kind of looking like sex.
So. Yeah, I sort of got the same deal.
Draw me like your French girls.
Yeah. Mine has got scoliosis. It's kind of sad.
Okay,
do they still do scoliosis checks in school? Is that a thing they do?
I don't know. Will hasn't told me about it, but he doesn't tell me anything.
Mango passion fruit?
Oh, weird. I'm going to go. Oh, that's weird. I don't know if I like that. There's almost like a bready taste on the front, which is unexpected.
Oh, I'm getting that with the yellow for sure.
Yeah.
The yellow flavor is odd.
Is that the mango or the passion fruit? Oh boy, this skews things a little bit. This was the sourest of the batch, which is interesting.
Okay, I'm going to down the whole thing now.
I did not do the empirical sample each flavor independently.
You know, like I am impressed with the flavor.
Yeah, flavor science has been crazy. You know? Flavor science is crazy these days.
Yeah.
All right. That was a lot of work for just one item, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay.
We're going to do sub reviews for each flavor.
Yeah. I'll sort of start it off.
Why am I blurry? Come on, Cam.
I like that strawberry lime better, best. That was my favorite flavor, more traditional. But you know, both flavors, speaking of like flavor science, like those two flavors are on lock, if you know what I'm saying.
I hear you.
Mango passion fruit.
3D printer, baby.
Blue raspberry guava, you know, I mean, we're thinking outside the box, but they didn't always pair well together, especially that last one, that orange and yellow one. Is leaving kind of a gross taste in my mouth. I'm going to give it a plus for the fun shapes, right? Like, you know, I can imagine kids eating this. They're biting off arms or biting off legs. It's a fun thing to eat compared to the Christmas trees of last week. But the flavors themselves don't excite me as much. And the other thing to keep in mind is there's nothing really holiday about this, right? I mean, it's just barrel of monkeys in a bag with weird flavors.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of a holiday themed treat, the other gummy passes the test a bit more than this one for me. I'm going to give this a nope. Adam, you're next.
Yeah, I really like the strawberry lime. If it was just a bag of those, I'd probably say yes. The other one's kind of left like a taste of them. Like I vaguely liked
ooh. Eating them. I'm still tasting that weird flavor of the third
yeah.
one.
Mm. Yeah, it just lingers in a really bad way.
Yeah. So I would rather have other. I'd rather have the sour punch trees, I think, than
yep, exactly.
than these other than the strawberry lime ones. So it's gonna be a nope.
You know, I'm as I've said, a sour gummy guy. And I really wanted to give this a dope, but I am that lingering flavor of the third one. Number one, it was bad. Number two, it's sticking around long past its welcome time. Yeah, it's a nope for me. This is sad. Right. And they're not, Jane, I think you're right. They're not holiday at all.
Mm-mm.
I mean, the other I guess one, they're what do they call the abominable snowman or something?
Right. Yeah.
So marginally seasonal, but yeah, It's a nope. I should probably tally the score.
Yeah. We know where we sit. Disappointing, because I sort of feel like gummies aren't the hardest thing to nail, right? Like, you know,
yeah.
Get a little sour, get a little sweet, there's get a little sugar on the outside, and yeah, didn't work.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if our next thing works. I'm pulling up the package right here. This is the Goldfish Strawberry Shortcake Grahams. These grahams hit the spot with a sweet and creamy strawberry flavor. That's all we got. It's not limited. I think this is a part of the regular Goldfish cookie lineup. But hey, you know, we're nothing but flexible. Let's give it a little smell. I suspect it'll smell like fake strawberries.
Yep, and nailed it. Smells like fake strawberries and cream.
Yep, that's exactly it. Well,
it's got a slightly pink tinge to it on the backside.
Yeah, I can see that. Just a hint.
All right, and these are just fish. No attempts at a strawberry.
Nope.
Or thankfully a cream shape. I didn't bother with that. Let's go. How many are we doing at a time? Two, three? I'll go three.
I did three.
Oh. No. Oh. Hmm. Hmm. That flour, that flavor goes away pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think that the sugar. Or at least the coating on the outside is definitely strawberry, like heavy strawberry. And then once you chew it up, whatever, then you start getting that shortcake, shortbread sort of flavor that comes around the cookie.
I'm not really getting any cream flavor, though. Maybe a bit in the coating, but.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes that's hard to do, right?
Yeah. If you don't have a cream-based product like a Hershey's Kiss.
Mm-hmm. All right,
I mean, not bad.
Jared, why don't you start?
I would certainly absentmindedly eat these while watching an episode of Tulsa King.
it's always the bar. It's always the standard.
You know, there's a bit of a weed culture in the show, so you know, you get the munchies. These are okay. I don't think they satisfy the holiday treatness.
So but you can blame me for that, Jared.
Okay. I'll blame you.
I think maybe judge it on its own as just a new item with holiday in the background, but
they're fine. I would never buy these on my own. I wouldn't seek them out, knowing what they taste like now. So it's a nope for me.
Okay. Well, I'll go next. I surprisingly kind of liked it, to be honest with you. I got
he's leaning most, into the controversy. He wants most Adam of the, to break the tie.
Most of the components of a strawberry shortcake. Yeah. It sort of has that fakey strawberry flavor, but you know, I've been around the block a few times. I can handle it. I'm kind of a sucker for the Goldfish little mini cookies. You know, they do like grahams, like Teddy Grahams, that kind of stuff. And yeah. I appreciate the fact they're trying something different. And I kind of enjoyed it. I like you, Jared, I don't know if I would go out and actively seek these out. But if they were at some kid's birthday party, I would definitely put a little bit on my plate. So for me, it's a moderate scope dope.
Okay.
Adam? Once again, you're the master. Will it be thumbs up or thumbs down for you?
You know, at first, I liked them at first. But then, like, I stopped eating them. Stopped at some point. And the flavor that lingered in my mouth was, like, not a great flavor. And I had to take a drink. So, if I could just continually eat them forever, they might get a dope from me, but so, I can't.
All right,
I'm gonna say
interesting. Well. So, Jared, I do your calculations, sir. Well, we're halfway through, and we've got two nopes and one dope. Interesting. Yeah. That's exactly where we were in the last episode. We started with two nopes and one dope. Let's see if the pattern continues with these delightful Kit Kat peppermint sticks. Jared's got a little mini bag, and here's what they look like, the packaging. Kit Kat peppermint stick. Crisp wafers dipped in creamy peppermint-flavored cream and crunchy bits. Perfect for sharing during special occasions like family gatherings and cozy movie marathons. So
cozy smell, movie marathons.
Smell test.
I know that's like a holiday tradition for your family, Shane.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you smell the bag, Adam, it's a very bizarre smell. It's like chemically.
Sounds like a bag of candy canes to me.
Mint. But let's crack open the actual package, smell the item itself.
Question for you.
Yeah, it's minty.
Question of procedure. When you split the two Kit Kats, do you do it before opening or after opening?
Usually before for me.
Okay. Adam?
When I do what?
When you crack the two Kit Kats in half, like
right.
lengthwise, you do it. Oh, you're doing clearly after. I'm a before guy.
Before
and
what?
I do it the short way because I'm a rebel. No, I didn't.
These are beautiful. It's got a little bit of red and green candy dots in there.
The
mint actually smells
delightful. Smell
decent, huh?
Oh yeah. All right, I'm going in. A little crispness from the little candy bits.
Yep.
Okay. My wafers aren't as crisp as I would have thought. They're a little bit soggy, which is kind of weird.
I will say, guys, that I noticed this with the Witch's Brew release this year for Halloween, that the Kit Kats are smaller, and I think they have less wafers in there.
Okay.
So it ends up being texture is different than what you remember. And so we're victims of downsizing. I think
it's called shrinkflation.
Sorry, shrinkflation. All right. I'm going to start this off. I think these are fantastic. Like, this is a legit peppermint experience with that fantastic Kit Kat center with the wafers and the ground up Kit Kats in between them. It's reminiscent of a like a peppermint candy, like a peppermint cream candy that I used to have when I was a kid that had these same dots. Like it sort of hits that nostalgia. It hits holiday. It is a elevated version of a holiday edition of Kit Kats. I think of some of the other flavors of Kit Kats we've had for holidays, like gingerbread and stuff like that. I think there was a cinnamon one as well. This is far beyond those. I'm giving this a enthusiastic dope right now. It's my favorite item that I've had so far today. Not yesterday. Not last show, but this show.
Adam, right.
You're next.
He's pondering.
I mentioned last time that I don't love like mint. I don't like mint, I guess, in general. Mm-hmm. Mint and chocolate especially is kind of. And I don't think this is really I don't know what the
I don't get chocolate. I mean, there is chocolate in there, like, but it's
white chocolate, which isn't real chocolate.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mostly I just taste the mint. I kind of appreciate like the smell. Like I like, you know, like the little candy canes cuz I don't need to like commit my whole afternoon to them. But I don't like the taste. I don't think I've liked any Kit Kat, you know.
Didn't you like the flavor. Didn't you like the Witch's Brew one?
I can't remember.
Maybe. I buy that every year. Like that's one of those things where I'll buy multiple
don't
bags.
Seek it out. I don't know. I don't think so. I'm gonna say no.
Nope. You're gonna nope this sucker, huh?
Wow,
Jared. Guess what you get to do.
Like Adam says, if you get one of the full size candy canes, that is really a full afternoon of intense focus to take down.
Everyone knows
and
that.
I don't have the time for that.
No.
This kind of fulfills that role in a different form. And I have to say I'm a bit enchanted by this. I like the little crispy candy bits in there. I like the flavor. I think this is an enthusiastic dope for me.
We're of one mind, Jared.
I like a traditional Kit Kat. Regular old Kit Kat does me fine most times. This is a nice little holiday aberration that I would come back to where it's available all the time in the holidays. I'm not looking for this in the summer.
No.
But around this time of year, I think it's a nice fit.
You got this in the fall, you know, a little bit of Kit Kat, a little bit of Tulsa King.
Tis the season.
Tis the season. Maybe
let's tally the score.
Yeah, scope dope.
I ate the entire thing.
yeah.
enthusiastically ate Both it. Halves. So
I'd have another, but I have so many other things to eat.
Well, guess what? You've got two more things to eat.
Yeah.
And my cat is walking through the eating area right now. Let's go on to our last solid foods, if you will. Pop-Tarts Frosted Marshmallow Hot Cocoa. It's a limited-time toaster pastry featuring 10 fun designs to collect during the holidays. Tasty pastry crust with hot cocoa and marshmallow flavors. It's shelf-stable and instant. Soft hot cocoa-flavored toaster pastries with sweet frosting on the outside and gooey marshmallow flavoring on the inside.
What a fact.
And instant in that you could just eat it out of the package, I guess. Right. Is that it?
So they're saying you don't have to toast it. You don't have to heat it up. It's ready to go. Mm-hmm. And that actually could be a problem, right? You talk about cereal with milk, Pop-Tarts without heat. That does change the game, doesn't it?
Now, I like the frosted cinnamon Pop-Tarts.
Oh, no.
I like them untoasted. Oh, not no. more, but I like them fine.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Look at this. Mine has a bear hugs in a mug.
Nice.
I mean, it does. You know what it smells like? It smells like a fake chocolate. This could be another like scratch and sniff chocolate, Adam.
Yeah.
Mine says raise a mug, but the printer is running out of ink, and so it got a little streaky.
Now, isn't there a Pop-Tart s'mores flavor already?
There is. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Okay. So what was the flavor on this again? I forget.
It is a hot cocoa toaster pastry with a gooey marshmallow flavored filling.
It says marshmallow hot cocoa is what they okay. label it as.
So I would assume that the s'mores version would be more of a graham cracker. Actually, the s'mores one is like a graham cracker on the outside and then a marshmallow chocolate on the inside.
So I will say this, not having had the box in front of me and not being prepared for what the flavor was and having forgotten what you told me the flavor was and having forgotten what I had read in the email and having forgotten what you had
there's a lot of forgetting
just
here.
Said seconds ago, when I opened the package, the scent I was presented with was unwelcome. It was not what I was expecting at all, and it was sort of like, what am I in for? Yeah. Now that I know what it is, and I can place the smell, I'm a little bit more at ease. And now I will eat the pastry.
Okay,
knowing what I'm in for.
I've got thoughts.
Okay.
All right.
Shouldn't these have more to them? Anyway, you say your thoughts.
All right, Adam. Why don't you go first since I went first last time?
So, you know how Pop-Tarts are just kind of good.
Yes. Right. Yep.
This is good. I mean, I don't have Pop-Tarts enough to like be like, oh, this isn't as good as a whatever. Type of. This is just good. I would eat these. I want to eat these right now. I'm going to eat these right now. This is great.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to go next. The smell, if you smell it in the foil wrapper, is off-putting.
See?
It's off-putting.
I'm not wrong.
But I will definitely say that it tastes better than it smells. Once you sort of get it in isolation, you know, let it air out a little bit, breathe. It starts to just taste to me like a chocolate Pop-Tart with some filling. I don't really get marshmallow in the middle. It's just sort of like a sticky white thing. And to be fair, marshmallow is a really tough flavor to like capture in something like this, unless it's a marshmallow itself, with the exception of the Kit Kat Witch's Brew covered with marshmallow chocolate. I think the crux of this is you have to be okay with the standard Pop-Tart chocolate crust. And if you like that, you're probably going to like this. It's not my favorite. And as I've gotten older, my tastes have maybe matured a little bit where Pop-Tarts always, you know, might seem like a good idea, but in execution, I don't love them as much. So I'm going to give this a moderate middling scope. Nope. So Jared, again, tiebreaker city comes down to you.
I've been on a journey with this one because when I, like you said, when you open the package, the scent is unexpected and unbidden and unwanted. But once you know what it is, you sort of warm up to it. There is like the barest hint of filling in these things. They are so thin. Like I would, if you said there was no filling in here and I didn't interrogate that any further, I would just say, yes, there's no filling in this.
By the way, Jared, that is another cause of shrinkflation.
Yeah.
You know, a Pop-Tart 2 years ago is different than this.
Sure. My first bite, I was like, this is Chewy Chips Ahoy territory. I'm not liking this. This is bad. As I ate the rest of the half of the Pop-Tart that I did finish consuming, I warmed up to it, and I kind of enjoyed it for its own thing. I wouldn't call myself like a Pop-Tart person who enjoys them all the time, but I kind of enjoyed the experience. I'm gonna say I'm a soft dope.
Ooh, Adam, look
I'm
up
a
there.
Soft dope. And so the score is tallied.
Yeah, scope dope.
So there you go.
All right. Well, guess what, folks? Grand finale time. And no, there's no better way to celebrate than with a cocktail.
Oh.
And in this case, it is the Elf Maple Syrup Sunday Buzzball. So we're talking oh, alcohol, no. folks.
Oh, no.
Inspired by the holiday classic Elf, Buzzball's Elf cocktail captures the sweet, whimsical essence of Buddy the Elf's favorite treat in a creamy, spirits-based delight. This limited edition cocktail blends rich maple syrup sundae flavor with velvety dairy and smooth spirits. So, yeah, it's got Buddy the Elf. Interestingly enough, not his face. So nope. there's no Will Ferrell on this.
This could be generated by Disney's new Disney GPT, if you want.
Right.
It's not a Disney character, but, you know.
In terms of the smell test, it definitely smells like a can, but in brown ball form.
Yep. You can smell the contours. I was like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. Until then I looked at the bottom and I noticed that it's actually like a milky white liquid. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I mean, it could be like an Irish cream type of thing. Yeah.
Have you guys ever had a Buzzball before?
No.
I've never had one. Have you?
No.
Oh, this is a first in the scope. First, all of us.
All of us are
about to break our nails off trying to get this thing open.
Yeah, I had to use a scissor. Also, if you look near the bottom, it also says, gosh, how old I am, guys. Watch.
There's that maple syrup scent.
I'm going to give it a smell. Yes. It's maple and booze.
Old man Adam's got to read us something.
It says, maple syrup sundae, other than standard orange wine with natural flavors. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Other than.
Yeah, I don't know either. All right, let's go in though.
All right. Can we describe this? It looks like milk.
It looks like milk, yep.
Adam's already
no.
Did you take a sip, Adam, or was that?
I did take a sip. The white.
Did it cause you to do that?
I don't want to.
Oh my!
Influence you guys.
Oh my!
This is the worst thing we've had on this show.
This is not the highest quality spirits.
Oh my!
Is this other than the standard orange wine? Huh? I don't understand what that means, but I think I think those words are operative.
I feel like we're drinking a candle. Like there's like a there's an artificial.
Oh man!
What a bummer! I bought two of these because they were on sale at Total Wine for $1.79 each. I was like, I'm getting a deal. I'm just throwing.
Oh, you know,
the
second sip is a little better, in my opinion. Now that I know what to expect.
Literally the aftertaste tastes like something that's not natural.
It's shitty spirits. It's like natural. Bad vodka. It's not good.
Oh, all right. Well,
you were here for it, folks. This is what your Patreon bucks are paying
for.
They
put some hair on your chest, though, you know?
I feel like if they could have gotten rid of that weird artificial flavor, and you know, if it was as smooth all the way through as like when it first touches your tongue, you might have something for a discount spirit, but I've already written my N down. This is a heavy nope.
I hate it.
Adam,
do you hate
let me
this?
Ask you this.
Do you hate this worse than the seltzers? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, Adam, have you ever thought about doing like a 3-part video essay on the meaning of this text? Other than standard orange wine with natural flavors. I feel like this needs a deep dive. I feel like it needs some sort of like right. hard-hitting journalism attack. Right.
What do you mean other than what? Other like...
Does it say other than standard orange wine?
Like, it's just so ponderous. I need to know why. Other how did this text come to be and what does it mean?
Orange wine with natural flavors.
I'm putting on my glasses, too, to read that because I gotta figure this out.
It's there. Look at Jay. Everyone's got their readers on. You know what? I'm going to put my readers on, too. We all got readers now. Let's go. Reader fam, unite.
Reader power.
Oh, yeah.
It literally says that. Other than standard orange wine with natural flavors. Maple syrup sundae other. What does that mean?
Patreon.com/thescopeshow if you want to support our reading glass fund.
Please, someone, help us out. I'm going to Google. Did wow. ChatGPT just tell us?
This experience has completely derailed the entire.
Yeah, we're flow stunned. Of the show. Like, what is that? What does orange wine have? I mean, do we taste any wine in it at all?
Who knows? It's all all neutral, cheap ass spirits. It doesn't really matter.
Okay. Other than standard wine is like a common label, on lots of things. My brain hurts.
Oh, man. We should probably score this and get done, wrap up the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
This orange well. Wine is actually grape wine made with white wine grapes.
There's layers.
The skins remain intact during fermentation, similar to how red wine is. This gives an off yellow tone to the wine and imparts a certain tangy flavor. Other than standard means that the wine itself is fermented to a much lower or higher alcohol content than standard without fortification, adding higher alcohol by volume liquors to boost alcohol content.
So now I need you to dig into the federal regulations that led to this text being put on this can.
Here's our third show.
It's insane.
Okay, so other than standard orange wine, likely a white grape wine fermented with skins intact, likely with added sugar to reach a higher ABV. These are common for use in cocktail-esque.
Now, quick
well,
take.
We definitely have a cocktail-esque drink.
You guys, take a drink of your holiday Coca-Cola right now.
Yep. Okay. I
saw and you're gonna, it's going to it's gonna be so taste so gross after that. It totally ruins it for me.
It makes it worse. It doesn't ruin it.
But anything, that's a problem a lot. Well, we have zero sugar. It makes it even worse because if you drink something that's sweet and then you go to a zero sugar and it's just like this counteracts any sort of fake sweetness that's in here.
Ugh. Well, Jared, just give this the rating. We know what this is. We've talked about it. We're confused.
It's growing on me, guys. It's growing on me. It's like growing on me.
Like Jared, a fungus.
I don't think that I can elevate it past the midline, but it's growing on me.
Are you pulling our legs, Jared?
No, it's actually kind of growing on me.
Jared loves other than standard orange wine.
Yeah, that was the key. Like, whoa.
I didn't know I needed it in my life until today.
All right. So I think that the Buzz Ball is our worst review thing. But the question is, Jared, Adam, what's our best thing? We gave mixed reviews this time around. We've got Cinnamon Toast Crunch with 2 dopes. We've got Kit Kat with 2 dopes. We've got Pop-Tart with 2 dopes. Which of those three is the best? I'm going to say Kit Kat. I think Jared and my reaction to the Kit Kats blows Adam's reaction out of the water.
That's fair.
I would agree with that.
I mean, I think I like the cinnamon. No, I guess the pop. I guess I like the Pop-Tart. But I don't think I like it as much as you guys like it.
You don't love the Buzz Bomb?
All right, so final...
I'm going to finish this thing.
Final thoughts, Coke versus Kit Kats. I think our winner of the 2025 season has to be the Holiday Creamy Vanilla Coca-Cola, correct?
I think so. I think it's... Yes. of the two, that's the one I would go to.
Fan freaking tastic. Wow. We ran an emotional race today, folks.
We sure did.
Emotional culinary race, and we made it through the gauntlet. That was Scoped Over Scope Nope 2025 Holiday Edition, Parts 1 and 2. Thanks for joining us on this adventure. Let's wrap this show up, Jared. You're listening to The Scope. Under the Scope.
I don't know why. That one just has to flow out of the break. I don't know why, but there it is. This game is crazy.
Yep, I'm watching right now. It is crazy.
I don't know if you saw the two-point conversion that happened and didn't happen and then happened.
I caught the very end of it.
Anyway, folks, that is it for The Scope in 2025. We thank you for joining us. We thank you for listening to our grand total of how many? 5 episodes that we produced this
Something like that.
That's fine. Maybe we'll do more next year.
Jared, Adam, I've literally have shows written. I have shows written that we could put together at any time. So,
well, I'll be working on the mobile podcast kit that we can do on the road, on the run from the Federales. Because chances are we'll be being pursued in some fashion.
Love it.
This is my prediction. If you have any closing thoughts on the new year or on the old year as we head into the new year, feel free to reach out 612-217-2673. That is 612-21-SCOPE. Do you love orange wine? Have you ever had a Buzz Bomb? How do you feel about us commentating on 10-day-old football games during the course of a podcast episode? Let us know. That is 612-21-SCOPE, 612-217-2673. Long-distance charges may apply. You can also, if you can find us on social media, you can reach out. Maybe we'll respond, but probably not. But you can comment on this episode on our YouTube channel, because it is on YouTube as well. That is youtube.com/thescopeshow. Or go to thescopeshow.com for all the details. Everything's there. If you want to support the show directly, that is The Scope Show. Nope, that's not it. I just talked about it earlier and in the last episode. The buzz bomb is starting to hit, folks. Patreon.com/The Scope Show, where you can pledge your support, your undying love, and your affection for Adam and Adam alone. The rest of us will not accept it. Only Adam is available for your love. Again, patreon.com/The Scope Show. Shane, back to you for your closing thoughts.
Wow. Well, 2025. Thank you so much, Jared. Adam, Jared. It's always a pleasure. I always like to say thank you for going on this Scope journey with me. It would not be the same without the two of you. We'll see what 2026 brings. Let's be optimistic. Let's hope for a better, healthier, happier country. Wah, wah. But at least maybe a few more episodes.
I see
episodes
a little Jerome head in the corner.
There he is. He's right here saying hi. But yeah, I wish everyone a happy new year, happy holidays.
Raise a buzz bomb.
Raise a buzz
celebration
bomb.
Of the new year.
Oh my god. I'm just gonna pretend to drink.
Cheers.
Delicious. And let's wrap it up. Let's wrap up the year, and we'll see everybody next year, 2026. For Jared Adam, I'm Shane, and guess what? Bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, ciao! Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.